Amen. Amen. We're going to read today from Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. And I know you've been standing a lot, but thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. What a blessing to have God's Word. It's a great and wonderful gift. Amen. Now, we've got several that are out of town here and there. We've got some that are sick. We've got some that I don't know where they're at, but I know they're going to text me and say, "Pastor, I'm sorry, I missed it." But that means the rest of you are going to have to preach with me just a little bit more. You're going to have to say amen just a little bit louder. Let's let God have his way today. Is that okay? Whatever you want to do, Lord, however you want to move, I pray that your spirit just fall in this house. Amen, amen. Lord, we want to see revival. God, we want to see the power of your spirit move and work and operate through us. I pray your will be done in this service. I pray that you would minister to every need, to every life, to every circumstance. God, you know exactly what's going on behind the scenes, and I pray that you would make a way in every life in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 says, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." I want to talk to us today about obeying God. Obeying God. I don't know about you, but I want to obey God. I want to obey God. I want to be in God's will. I want God to be pleased with me. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Here at this time of our text today, the job of leading the children of Israel had transitioned from Moses to Joshua. And God promised Joshua that he would be with him, just as he had been with Moses. In a miraculous event, the Israelites crossed over the Jordan River in the middle of flood stage. But God stopped the waters and they went over on dry ground. And the city of Jericho was the first obstacle that they faced as they came into the promised land. Sometimes we think, God, you've promised me some things. You've led me here. I'm following you. And why am I facing obstacles? Why am I facing challenges? Why is it that everything wasn't just handed to me on a silver platter? Sometimes we've got to fight for some things that God has promised. Sometimes there's still some enemies that are not wanting to give up territory, but God has promised that territory. And so we march forward with faith, and we march forward realizing that God is going to give us the victory. The previous generation had come to Jericho and had turned back because of the evil report brought back by the spies. Only Caleb and Joshua had come back with a report of faith. So that entire generation paid the price for unbelief and disobedience. I tell you today, God is looking for obedience, even when we're faced with the impossible. Because we're not to rely on our own power. We're not to rely on our own strength, not on our own wisdom, but we rely on God's ability. That generation passed away in the wilderness, and now their children have come to Jericho to see God's promise realized. And Joshua faces now an obstacle that's much bigger than he is. But God has a way of working things out. Aren't you thankful that God has a way of making a way seem that it did not seem possible, but God says, I've got a way through this. Maybe you're here today and everything's just fine in your life, and you don't have any needs, and you don't have any prayer requests that you're believing God for, no issues that you're burdened with, no mountains to climb, no giants you're facing, but you've got it all figured out and everything is just dandy. Well, I'm not really preaching to you. I'm not really preaching to you, but if there's anybody here today that you've got some mountains that you don't know how you're going to climb it, and you've got some burdens that you're bearing today, and you're dealing with some stuff, some issues in your family and in your finances and in your health. Come on, if somebody's up against some giants today, I want you to take courage, because there's an answer for your situation. There's a way through this. Come on, God is working it out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The answer is found in obedience. Just as Joshua and Israel prayed, or just as Joshua and Israel obeyed God, and then the walls of Jericho were destroyed, there is a special blessing in our lives that only comes from obeying God. In this service today, I believe that God is going to speak to our hearts and to show us the things that we need to do. He's going to put the task before us, and whatever it is that we've got to do in order to see walls come down and the enemy defeated, that test of faith, that test that shows the will of God in our life. I want to tell you today, God's wondering, who are we going to be submitted to? Who will we obey? Will it be our own will, our own desires, our own dreams and plans? Are we going to make the decision today to serve God? When we obey God, it releases Him to do His work in our life. When we obey God, it releases Him to fight in our behalf. When we obey God, it releases the blessings and the favor that God has already stored up to make a way for that need that we're going through. Come on, somebody today, make up your mind. I'm going to obey the will of God. I'm not going to obey my own flesh. I'm not going to obey anyone else, but I'm going to obey the will of God. We read in our text today, Joshua 5 and 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Now that's a logical question. You see a man ready to fight. He's got a sword drawn. You're wondering, are you for us or are you against us? What am I meeting here? And he's ready to do battle. Verse 14 tells us, and he said, nay. Well, it wasn't a yes or no question. Are you for us or against us? Which side are you on? And he didn't answer the question. He said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? This man, this figure, what most believe was an appearance of God to man, he refused to answer Joshua's question. Why is that? Because it really wasn't the right question. Sometimes we wonder why we don't have the answers to the questions we have about life. Maybe it's because we're asking the wrong things. God, why am I going through this? Why haven't you made a way? Why is it that I'm struggling? We're asking the wrong things. What Joshua asked, it was not the right question. It was not the most important thing to know right then. The question really wasn't, Lord, are you on my side or not? The proper question was, is Joshua on the Lord's side? Sometimes we get to like looking at life and we ask God, do you see my situation? Do you see my circumstance? Why haven't you got with my program? Why haven't you done, God, what I want you to do? We're coming at it all wrong.
Come on, we're coming at it all wrong. God's waiting on us to get with his program, to do his will, to respond with obedience to the plan he's designed for us. And all we can see, all we can think, all that we want is what we desire and what we've come up with. But I believe today if we can change our thinking and say, God, I want to see your will. I want to see your purpose. I want to see your plan. Oh, God, transform my thinking so I can be obedient. God was pulling rank on Joshua. Joshua was the leader, but he wasn't the commander in chief. No doubt Joshua had been brainstorming, drawing in the sand or whatever they had to draw with. And well, here's the walls and here's the city, and maybe we could come from this direction. And how can we defeat Jericho? And how in human ability they could take this mighty city. And so he asked, are you for us or against us? That's not the right question today. The question is, who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? The captain of the host of the Lord. The captain of the army of the Lord. There was an angelic army about to bring victory, to overcome an undefeatable city, to bring mighty walls down, to give them the promised land. And it's time for Joshua to get on board with what God is about to do. Oh, come on today. I know it's a Sunday morning. I know some of you are a little tired today, but if we only knew what was going on in the spirit, if we only knew what was going on behind the scenes, if we could only see into the spiritual to understand how God is working and how God is moving, we see in the natural. We understand what we can logically figure out and observe, but this is not the natural we're talking about today. When we learn that, when we're able to obey God, regardless of what the physical realm looks like, regardless of what we see with our natural eyesight, we tap into the power from another dimension. It's a supernatural power. It's an angelic army. That is when we do God's will. That is what God wants to do. Hallelujah. And so we're looking at the natural this week, and we're looking with physical understanding and natural understanding, and we think, well, this is, you know, this is Halloween, and this is a celebration for this and for that, and there's all this glory being given to the devil, and there's all this happening, and why would we want to have a revival this week? And we got people out of town, and we got this going on, and we got that going on, and it's a struggle, well, Pastor, why don't we just take it easy, and we'll just take one for the team, and we'll just kind of relax, and then we'll hit it again next week. That's looking with eyes of the flesh. Well, Pastor, maybe we don't have the finances this year. Maybe we don't have this. We don't have that. And so maybe we should just kind of take it easy and we'll regroup after the first of the year. That's looking with eyes in the natural, in the physical realm. Come on, somebody, I'm asking you to start looking with eyes of the Spirit to realize that God is doing something. God is up to something good. God is making a way where there seems to be no way. Somebody here today, you're in a battle. You're in a fight, but you need to look to the Lord because he's already provided the answer. Just as Moses was commanded to take off his shoes before the burning bush, Joshua now is told the same thing. Clearly, the man standing before him was the same voice that came from that burning bush. And Joshua takes off his shoes and falls on his face in worship, and he knew who was really in charge. Somebody today, you need to take a moment to recognize who's really in charge of your life. Who is the one that sets things in order? Who is the one that's leading and directing our lives? We did not get here on our own, but we're responsible to that same one that appeared to Joshua, that same voice that spoke to Moses from the burning bush. And when we get that, When we come to that place of submission to God's authority in our life, that surrender to his plan and purpose, it propels us into the victory that God has already won. I want to tell somebody today, this battle that you're going through, God has already won the victory. God has already made a way. God has already defeated the enemy. God has already worked this out. When we're following the commander of the army of the Lord, how can we lose? How can we lose? We're fighting with an angel army. We're fighting with the army of the Lord. We're fighting with the captain of the Lord's host. This is not our battle. The battle is the Lord's. If we've been fighting the battle on our own, if we've been carrying this burden ourselves, if we've been trying to figure everything out with human understanding, we need to stop right here today. We need to recognize the one that's really in charge. We're not asking God if he's on our side. God is asking, are you with me? Come on, are we with him? Are we surrendered to his plan? Are we willing to let him have his way? And when we are, how can we lose? How can we not win? The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord. I tell you, this church is God's church. Amen. Your family is God's family. Come on, your life is God's life. And when you're surrendered to God, the battle is the Lord's. We just trust in him. We just follow his will. We just stand in faith. We just believe God for his promises.
Oh, no doubt God has brought us, each of us here to this moment, to this time, this place, where destiny is hanging in the balance. The future that God has for us, will it be God's will in our life or will it be our own? He's orchestrated, I believe, everything even in the service, from the songs to the announcements to all of this. He's brought us here into his presence and he's ready to help us to move in our lives, and he's ready to open doors and pour out his blessings. But it all depends on our response. Joshua fell on his face. He surrendered to the commander in chief and he worshiped God and said, you tell me what to do. That's what we've got to do today. Lord, I'm on your side. I'm on your side. Tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. At that time, Jericho was one of the greatest cities in the world. Was known for its impressive walls, an engineering masterpiece that gave the city its protection. They were built to withstand a long siege, and the city was well supplied. They felt well protected, but God had a plan. Oh, I want to tell you, the enemy in your life may be very confident. The giants standing in your way may have controlled things for a long time. There may be a long-standing principality that's been in authority in this city, but God has a plan. God has a plan, and that plan involves you. That plan involves me if we will obey God. Oh, somebody today, you need to learn to walk by faith. Come on, you need to learn to walk by faith. Walking by faith is scary. Sometimes it's a little scary. Having faith, it doesn't mean that we're never afraid. In fact, courage is the act of facing our fears. Great faith comes in moments where we trust God and we face things that are bigger and badder than we are. And we're trusting that God is going to make a way, and God responds to that kind of faith and obedience. The Israelites were not trained soldiers. They didn't have a lot of military experience, but they were the people of God. And they were following God's
plan. And there they were. They were going by faith into this land that God had promised them. And without God's help, they would surely fail. The enemies were too great, and the walls were too tall, and there were giants in the land, and their success depended on their obedience to the plan of God. So God lays out the battle plan to Joshua. It wasn't normal military strategy. These tactics have never been proven before on the battlefield. But they were obedient, and they were victorious. And I tell you today, our ability to receive the promises of God, to truly live a blessed life, is totally dependent on how we'll obey the voice of the Lord in our life. Sometimes what He wants us to do, it doesn't make sense. It might not be what we would choose on our own, but when we submit to God's plan, that's when His blessings are activated and released. I pray today that we desire more than anything else to live under the blessings of God, to go into another dimension of faith beyond our own wisdom and strength, to where God moves and His blessings are poured out. But it's going to take somebody getting up and saying, you know what? I don't understand it all. I can't figure it out, but I'm still going to trust God in the middle of this. I'm still going to worship God even though I'm going through it. I'm still going to give when it's not easy to give. I'm still going to believe when it doesn't seem like it's going to come to pass. Oh, if you're like me, we can remember times where we knew God's will was something other than what we wanted. God was calling us to sacrifice. He was calling us to serve. He was calling us to greater commitment. And it was not what our flesh wanted to do. We wanted to do what we wanted to do. But I tell you, prayer has a way of aligning us with God's will. Hallelujah. That's the main reason why sometimes people, they don't really want to pray when they're in the valley of decision. And you would think when you're considering a major life change, you would think when you're trying to decide which direction to go, what road to take, that you would pray. But sometimes people don't pray because they're in the valley of decision and they want to make the decision themselves. Because in their heart, they're really not willing to submit to God's will. They really don't want His input in their situation. And they know deep down what His answer is going to be. And so instead of submitting to God's plan, they stubbornly persist in following their own will. And then they want to blame God for where they end up. It's better to submit to God. It's better to get with His plan. It's better to let God have His way. John the Baptist said, He must increase, but I must decrease. Oh, there's got to be less of me and more of You, God. Not my will, but Your will be done. Have Your way in me. Have Your way in my family. Have Your way in this church, oh God. Oh, come on, somebody today say, there's got to be less of me. There's got to be more of You, God. Not my will, but Your will be done. I surrender to You, Lord. I submit to Your will. See, sometimes we get the whole wrong idea about prayer. We think prayer is calling God down to do what we've figured out. Now, God, here's the plan. I've gone through this, Lord, and I can help you out. I'm just going to make this real quick. Here's the things you need to do. Here's the people you need to take out. Here's the amount of money I need. God, I've helped you out so much, Lord, and if you'll just do my plan. And I'm praying, Lord, make it happen. Lord, do it, God. God, bring it to pass. We go to God with that list of things that need to be done. True prayer is not that. Prayer is the act of putting this flesh on the altar and saying, God, I want whatever you want in my life. True prayer is not asking God to do whatever it is we want, but it's aligning ourselves with His will and His plan. It's surrendering ourselves to what He wants to do. It's learning to take up the will of God as our own will. No doubt there's some people here today that you're facing a moment of destiny in your life. Oh, I'm thankful that we do have a choice. But what we choose will affect the outcome of our life. And we can choose to keep pursuing our own will, our own desires. We can choose to not surrender to God. Oh, and do whatever we want. But it'll only be a continual struggle. If we would be willing today to put those things on the altar and to seek God, if we'd be willing to obey God in everything, in whatever He wants us to do, I believe you're going to be so surprised at how quickly things will start to fall in place. Because God's just waiting on you. God's just waiting on me. He's just wondering, are we on the Lord's side? Is this His plan or is it my plan? Is this everything I've figured out, or am I willing to just put it on the altar and say, God, whatever you want, just have your way. Just move like you want to move. Just do what you want to do. Hallelujah. I feel this so strongly today. If you would stop struggling, if you would stop arguing with God, if you would stop trying to say, well, God, I'll do this, but I won't do that. No, if you would just give up and surrender, I believe that everything is going to start falling into place. You're going to be so surprised. You're going to be blown away at how quickly God works and moves. There's great favor when we obey God. When Joshua surrendered to God, when he humbled himself before the Lord, when he submitted to the captain of the host of the Lord, God spoke to him as if the victory had already been won. In God's eyes, it was already settled. It was as if it had already happened, but the people had to obey. And they had to follow God's plan for victory. Read with me Joshua 6 and verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. He said, I've already given it to you. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Their success depended on obedience. Their victory was only their victory when they were willing to obey God completely. When they started off marching around the city, they were doing it with faith and willingness to obey the Lord. And if we want God's victory in our life, we have to do it God's way. This generation of the Israelites had been born and raised in the wilderness. To them, Egypt was just a place of history. It was a place their parents and grandparents had told them about. And they didn't have their roots in Egypt, but God had raised a new generation of people who would believe Him, who would follow Him and obey His commandments. And God was able to use them. They had never seen walls of a city fall down flat by the supernatural power of God. But they would see it because they obeyed. No doubt the people of Jericho were mocking them and jeering at them as they marched around the walls. And so it took patience. 6 days, and then on the 7th day they did it 7 times. And I want to tell you, sometimes we've just got to be patient. Sometimes we want it to work out, and sometimes you got to realize life is full of storms and life is full of trials and things that test our faith and our patience. But child of the King, you keep obeying God. You're going to come through this. Somebody needs to hear that. That's a word of the Lord for somebody. You're going to come through this. You're going to come out on the other side. There is going to be a victory. There is going to be a sun that starts to break through the clouds. You are going to come through this. Come on, you've wondered, is this going to be the thing that takes me out? Is this going to be the thing that causes me to fall? Is this going to be the thing that takes my victory? Is this going to be the thing that destroys my marriage? Will this be the thing that I can't overcome? I've come to tell you, you can come through this. Just keep obeying God. Just keep walking by faith. Just keep believing God for victory. You're going to come through this. Oh, come on. If I had a mirror, I would preach to myself right now. Come on, Brian. I know you've been going through some trouble. I know you've been fighting some battles. I know it's been hard, but you're coming through. You're coming through this. You're coming through this. Come on, church. I know there's been a few attacks. I know there's been some things that have taken your breath away, but you're going to come through this. You're going to come through this. There's going to be revival. There's going to be a blessing from the Lord. There's going to be victory. You're going to come through. Oh, come on. I wish there'd be a husband that get a hold of your wife's hand and you just step out into the aisle and start praising God for what you're going through. Come on, is there anybody? You've been going through some things, but you would receive that word from the Lord today. You're going to come through this. Come on, we've got one, we've got two, we've got three. Come on, somebody believe it today. You're going to come through this. You're going to come through this. We're going to obey God. We're going to keep being faithful. We're going to keep living right. Come on, we're going to have victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, is there a young person that you would say, I've been going through a battle that I didn't know. I didn't even know how bad it was going to be, but I'm going to come through this. And you'd make your way to this altar right now, and you'd stand with your hands lifted in victory because God's already won the victory. God's already made a way. God's already provided what you need. Come on, somebody lift up the Lord right now. Somebody magnify the Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you need to be encouraged today. The enemy is trying to take you out. The enemy is trying to get you distracted. The enemy he's trying his best to get you stopped to stop doing the will of God. And we've been wondering, God, are you on my side? When all along, there's a figure that's standing there with his sword drawn, ready to do battle with the enemy. And it's not, God, are you on my side? But God's waiting to say, yes, Lord, I'm on your side. Yes, God, let your will be done. You fight this battle your way. You make a way where God, you make the way, not me. God is ready to fight on our behalf. The angels of the Lord encamp round about those who fear him. If our spiritual eyes could be open today, I believe we'd see the heavenly beings that watch over us, that encamp round about us. When we stay surrendered and submitted, it releases the one that has the sword drawn, ready to fight on our behalf. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. God's waiting on you. God's waiting on me. Somebody needs to realize today, I'm trying to resist the devil, but have we submitted ourselves to God? Have we submitted to his will in our life, to his plan and his purpose? Oh, God, I'm looking for you. If we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. And here's what came to me today. How do I know what God wants me to do? I want to obey the Lord, but how do I know his plan? How do I know his purpose? How do I hear his voice? Oh, I wish he'd speak to me audibly sometimes. How do I know, God, what you want me to do? He's given us four pillars. He's given us four pillars that help us stand. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, the Shepherd of God, and the family of God. The Spirit of God, where does it come from? Where does it go? It's like the wind. Sometimes I've had the Spirit of God speak to me out of the strangest stuff. I'd see somebody and all of a sudden, there's something spiritual going on there, and God would speak to me about that person. Or maybe I was going through trouble and all of a sudden, revelation would come and I'd see it in a whole new light. It was the Spirit of God. When we pray, when we put ourselves on the altar, when we have a regular lifestyle of surrender to God through prayer, the Spirit can flow, the Spirit can move, the Spirit can speak to us and speak through us. But if we cut off that communication with God and we don't spend time in prayer, cutting off his Spirit to be able to flow and move and speak. Come on, you got to pray. We've got to pray. We've got to pray every day, every day. Husband, father, you got to pray to have wisdom, to lead a family in this world today. You got to pray. If you're not praying, you are cutting off one of the greatest avenues to give you victory over the enemy and to hear the voice of God, the Spirit of God. The second pillar, the Word of God. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. God's Word has such wisdom. I've never had a situation that I couldn't find some wisdom in the Word of God to know what to do. Get in the Word.
Read the word. Study the word. Apply the word. Do the word.
If we read the word and we don't ever do it, well,
we're not a doer of the word. The Bible says we've got to be a doer of the word. The shepherd of God. What's the shepherd of God? God's given us a pastor. We all need a pastor. I've got a pastor. You need a pastor. We all need a pastor. Now, is a pastor perfect? No. Does the pastor wake up on the wrong side of the bed sometimes? Yes. Does the pastor have bad days? Yes. Does the pastor make mistakes? Yes. But God can use a pastor even in a moment where we weren't even expecting it, but he could have been preaching the word of God, and all of a sudden something that he says, it hits us. I hope that hits you here today, that you're going to make it. You're going to come through this. You're going to come through this. Come on, I feel this so strongly. One time years ago, I was going through a spiritual battle, and I didn't know how I was going to make it. And I remember my father said, you're going to come through this in order to go on and fight another battle. And I thought, well, great. I don't want to fight any more battles. But I want to tell you, you're going to come through this. You're going to come through this. Come on, church. You're going to come through this. God's not finished. God's not done. God's not out of resources. God's not out of power. God's not out of answers. You're going to come through this. Amen, amen. Now, I'm a pastor, and I realize that I'm just an under-shepherd, but I take very seriously the plan of God, and I want to do what I can to take care of the sheep that he's given me to look after. Sometimes people will come and say, well, Pastor, just want you to let you know, or usually it's like I'm going to send a text. Pastor, just want to let you know I'm leaving. We'll see you later. That's one thing. Okay, open hand. Here we go, Lord. I trust you. It's another thing when somebody comes and says, Pastor, I've got a decision to make. I'm thinking about a change in careers. I'm thinking about, a major life-changing decision, and I really want to do the will of God. Would you pray with me? Would you pray with me? I haven't made up my mind yet because I hadn't talked to my pastor yet. There's a difference there. Sometimes people, they're just telling me, they're just notifying me of what they've already decided to do. But when somebody comes and says, Pastor, I haven't made up my mind because I don't know. I want to do God's will. And so I'm considering something here. We're trying to do this or that or whatever. And that pastor, the shepherd of God, can come along and say, let's pray. And God gives direction. If somebody called me that had a problem with my pastor and said, I want to visit with you about some stuff. I just want to get together. I want to go out to eat. I'm just telling you, me, Brother Long, I'm just telling you how I would feel about that. You got a problem with my pastor? I'm not going to sit down over bread with you. I'm just telling you, for me. I'm just telling you, that's how I would feel. That wasn't in my notes. That hit me hard. Because I need a shepherd. I need a shepherd that can speak to my heart and tell me some things I didn't want to hear. Brother Nathan, your dad, my pastor, has told me some things I didn't want to hear before. But God's blessed me for listening to my shepherd. And then the family of God. The family of God. Look to your left. Look to your right. Say, hey, you family. Or for those that are your proper, you are my family. Hey, you family. You family. Amen. That's my brother from another mother. You're my brother. You're my brother. You're my brother. You're my son, but you're my brother. Thank God for the family of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sister Dory, you got a family. You didn't know when Angelia pulled through Seven Brew after church or before church or whatever it was, and you're like, hey, what's up? Where are you headed? You all dressed up. And she's like, well, why don't you come to church with me? You didn't know you were getting a family. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a strength for a brother to be going through something and be able to find two or three other brothers and say, hey, brother, I don't know how I'm going to come through this one, but I need you to pray with me. And you bind together in prayer and you come through that. And then when God brings you through, when God brings you through, you're not just rejoicing all by yourself, but you got two or three others that said, hey, oh, we didn't know how it was going to happen, but we trusted the Lord, and look what God did. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Closing today. I've butchered my sermon. I've jumped all around, but the Lord knows. The Lord knows. Somebody here today, you need to lay your will on the altar. You need to lay all of this list. If you've got it all figured out how God needs to do it, and you need to just put it down and say, okay, God, I'm on your side. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, in your mind, can you see that figure that Joshua saw there with the sword drawn, ready to do battle? It's not a natural battle. It's not a physical fight, but it's a spiritual battle we're up against right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that you would do what you want to do. I pray that you would make a way, God. I pray that you would do whatever it is you want to do in this church, whatever you want to do in my family, whatever you want to do in my life. I pray the will of God right now. I surrender to your purpose. I surrender to your plan. In Jesus' name, let your will be done. Let your will be done. Oh, I wish somebody could just link up with someone next to you and say, come on, we're going to do the will of God together. Come on, we're going to believe together that the will of God's going to be done. We're putting our will on the altar right now. We're surrendering to God right now, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Lord, speak to me. Let your spirit speak to me, Lord. Let your word come alive in my heart, Lord, to show me what to do. Lord, I pray that you let the pastor preach something. Let it be a fresh word from the Lord that tells me and gives me direction. Lord, I pray that you will let the family of God come alongside of me to give me the direction I need, Lord. We're going to come through this. We're going to come through this. Whatever you're facing, come on, you're going to come through this. In Jesus' name, just keep obeying God. Just keep living by faith. Come on, just keep walking in faith.